Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. In this episode, we're going to continue our discussion on eternal security with Richard Miller.
All right. So for the next scripture, it's going to be coming from Romans chapter 9, one of your favorite books of the Bible. And it starts from verse 14 and it says, "Are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, 'I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose.' So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. But the scripture says that God told Pharaoh, 'I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the earth.' So you see, God chooses to show mercy to some, and he chooses to harden the hearts of others so they refuse to listen. Well then, you might say, why does God blame people for not responding? Haven't they simply done what he makes them do? No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, 'Why have you made me like this?' When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into? In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who are destined for destruction. He does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. And we are among those whom he selected, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles." All right. That's a very lengthy scripture. Please take whatever time you need to talk about it. But this is another scripture where basically eternal security, or once saved, always saved, basically puts more of the burden on God's grace and less on our actions. You know, and really focuses on the predestiny of God's omniscience to determine our salvation, and not so much on free will. What are your thoughts on that? This is a hefty, hefty scripture, honestly. I will admit to that.
All right. So there's a lot here. In fact, this scripture is one of the It's one of the left hook scriptures, or the go home scriptures, that people use for the whole once saved, always saved thing. Look down here at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. It says, in the same way, verse 22, in the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls. He does this to make his riches and glory shine even brighter to those to whom he shows mercy. And here's the thing, who were prepared in advance for glory. Right. So yeah. The idea, they use that to say the idea is that there are people, the elect, God has already chosen to go to heaven. And then there's those that are not.
Yeah. Right?
So they have not been prepared for glory.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, the best way that I've ever heard that kind of stated, really played out to its most devastating relational context, because God is a relational God, it's like, I think my buddy Jack said it. He said, it's like you got two kids. You look at one kid, you say, you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to go to hell. Like, how could you couldn't do that. Like, what father or parent could ever do that? Like, I choose you to go to heaven, but you, not so much, Terry. You're done. You're done for. Like, that's the part where I feel like it breaks down in the relational context of God, just on the surface. If this is all you read, right? If this is the only thing the Bible says about this topic, or about God or salvation or any of that stuff, it's easy to do it. But look at what Paul is saying here. He's like, and that whole thing, shall the thing that was created say to him who has created, why hast thou created me thus, right? Why'd you make me this way, God, right? And it's like, he's saying, don't say that. It's misunderstanding the whole point of the situation. And this very much seems to lend itself to the once saved, always saved thing. But here's the thing. If you've been prepared for glory ahead of time,
yeah,
I don't think it means that God created you and he always intended that you would be one of the special ones that gets to go to heaven, but that there's this whole group of people that are not. In fact, look at 22, right? In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls, who are destined for destruction. Why? Like, if God just created this person akin to being a vase that he's just going to smash onto the ground, why would he bother being patient? Why would he bother? Why would he have to do that at all?
Right.
Like, I think God knows who's going to follow him and who's not going to follow him. But I don't think that him knowing is indicative of him determining who will follow him and who will not. Yeah. There are people that believe the opposite. Him right. knowing is evidence that he's already determined it.
Mm.
And gotcha. To me, like, I just like, is the world really just like a VHS God popped in and hey, play on, you know what I mean?
Take yeah.
me
old
school.
Or you like a video or like a video yeah. game that, you know,
they just hit play.
Yeah, I know. He's the gamer just, and you know, we are the sprites.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like that, yeah. that when you take it into the relational context, that's where the idea of because that's the other side of the whole once saved, always saved argument that you have to accept.
Right.
Right. Like if it's once saved, always saved, then you're saying it's also destined for destruction and there's nothing you can do about it.
Ooh, that's scary. That is definitely scary.
It makes the whole thing like if I'm not one of the how do I find out, right? Mm. Because if I'm not one of the elect, okay, why yeah. do I have to bother trying to live a godly life, trying to do the right thing, right? Like, why do I have to even bother? I'm not saying I'm going to go start killing people. Still probably be a good guy, right?
Sure.
You know, he'll probably try to, you know, live in a society and get along with people, but yeah, why do I have to worry about all these Christian things and praying to God and reading the Bible and knowing what thou shalt or shalt not do? Like, what if I'm just like, how do I find out which category I'm in? And here's the thing, like, if I play that out, why do I even have to find that out? Because if I'm in the destined for glory category, there's nothing I can do about it. It is inevitable that I'm going to come to God and follow him. And if I'm in the destruction category, party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. Do what you want. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven.
So, I mean, that leads us to another sort of agnostic question then. On the question of can a Christian lose their salvation, should a Christian entertain that question in the first place? Is that a fruitful conversation to have?
I think the idea of not entertaining questions is very controlling and completely against the nature of God. God says, come, let us reason together. God yeah. is not afraid of our questions. He's not even afraid of our doubts, Chris. And look at what happens when Thomas has doubts that Jesus is risen. Yeah. I won't believe it until I put my hands in his wounds. And then Jesus shows up. If yeah. Jesus was a modern day preacher, he'd start condemning Thomas for daring to have doubt in his heart. Right. No, Jesus says, here you go. Here are my wounds.
Yeah.
Put your hand in there.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you said, you know, that this wasn't a stupid question, because then I'd have to delete this podcast. Because that was definitely something of concern. While doing my research on this, I was reflecting on I think it's Titus chapter 3, verse 9, where it talks about how we should avoid foolish questions and discussions about genealogies and so forth. But I was wondering, all right, is this whole question of losing salvation, if we're focused on the prize, if we're focused on the light of Christ, should we, would this question sort of tempt us to look back like Lot's wife looked back? You know what I mean? And so that
Well,
was one of the questions I had lingering in the back of my mind in preparation once again for this podcast.
I don't think so. I don't think this is one of those questions. And I also think the way that you're presenting it isn't in a way where you're like, where you're saying this is what it is, and the people that believe the other way, well, they're heretics and they're not going to heaven. You know what I mean? Because there are some silly arguments that we get into, like how about just the rapture? The rapture is a big one. There are people that believe firmly in a pre-tribulation rapture. There are people that believe firmly that the pre-tribulation rapture is not scriptural. Okay, but the Bible, it you can kind of go either way, and both sides, both camps bring up a myriad of scriptures. So I think issues like that are issues where we can kind of make something a bigger deal than it really is. And if that's not the type of thing that should be splitting churches or causing us to I don't know, that's not a hill that we should be dying on. You know what I mean? Like
No.
it's this topic right here. What's great about this once saved, always saved thing is it God can use it however he needs to in a person's life. There's a person that thinks for sure that they're gonna mess up and lose their salvation, right? And it may be that this podcast shows them, no, you're okay. God loves you and he's gonna take care of you no matter what. And then there may be a person who is allowing themselves to sin in ways that are going to jeopardize their soul. And then they listen to this and they think, oh wow, maybe I'm not, just guaranteed a shot in heaven. Maybe I need to take this sin stuff seriously and really watch and get back right with God and really, see if what I'm doing is what he really wants me to be doing. And either outcome is good. It draws somebody closer to God. So this isn't something that I think, well, if you disagree with me, then well, we can't be friends and you're not invited to my Jesus Club anymore.
And then I mean on that topic as well too, I mean, that I guess that is the duality of this podcast series where, you're gonna get essence of, a yes and a no to the question. The goal of this podcast, in particular this episode, is to plagiarize the Bible as much as possible. Want to get as many scripture references in there as possible and really make it very easy for the listeners to, just sort of start to navigate the scriptures for themselves, which is the ultimate goal of this podcast, is to present each listener with yet another opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ, or even perhaps strengthen or reaffirm their faith and grow from faith to faith, because the just must live by faith. Proverbs 4, verse 18, where it also says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So, so that's definitely the goal of this podcast. And the question of can a Christian lose their salvation? You're correct in assuming that there are going to be listeners who are going to listen to this and think to themselves, maybe I'm experiencing unforgiveness. Ooh, thank God for this podcast. Or, then you're going to have others who may be in the other camp, And so there's all sorts of examples. So I'm sort of reserving my answer to the question of can a Christian lose their salvation for the summary, but I'm going to give a hint. The answer is yes and no. My answer is definitely yes and no. And I definitely have my reasons for it, and I look forward to sharing that in my summary as well too. But definitely been enjoying doing these recordings, and you're the you're yet another person that I've had on this podcast talking about this particular topic, and getting some very serious perspectives on it as I journey for wisdom on this particular topic as well too. So I'm not in a position to say that there is a right or a wrong answer. It's what God's word says, and that's what I encourage the listeners to assume when listening to the question, listening to this podcast. Let God be true and every man a liar.
This concludes another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support, please visit beyondsermons.com to rate and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. God bless, and be blessed to be a blessing.